Hi, this is Javon, your Blinds.com design consultant.
Oh, wow. A real person.
Yep. I'm here to help with everything from selecting the perfect window treatments to...
Well, I've got a complicated project.
No problem. We make the complex simple. I can even help schedule a professional measure and install.
I didn't realize you did that.
We can also send you samples fast and free.
Wow. I always thought I needed a designer to come to my home, but scheduling's always a nightmare.
Not with Blinds.com. We're on your schedule, and there's no haggling, pressure, or hidden fees either.
I just might have to do more.
Whatever you need. How about you tell me what you had in mind?
Okay, then. So the first room we're looking at is for guests coming over, and I'm thinking of...
From free expert design help to our 100% satisfaction guarantee, everything we do is made to fit your life and your windows. Because at Blinds.com, the only thing we treat better than windows is you. Black Friday deals are going on all month long. Save up to 45% off site-wide, plus an additional 10% off every order at Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions apply.
Looking for a new way to grow your business? With TikTok for Business, anything is possible. If you've ever thought about advertising on TikTok, now's the time to do it. You can drive more customers to your website, sell products right in the app, and you can even use TikTok's creative tools to easily make content and find creators to help sell your products for you. Find new customers today. Just open your browser, type in getstarted.tiktok.com/TikTok ads, and grow your business fast.
On the job, every minute counts. That's why Lowe's now has ProBlock Quick Dry Primer, expertly manufactured by Sherwin-Williams. Engineered for pros to dry fast and go on smooth for virtually flawless results that keep your job moving. It's available in oil and water-based, and getting it is easy. Order online by 2 p.m. and get free same-day delivery right to your job site. Lowe's, we help, you save. Orders placed after 2 p.m. will be delivered next day. Valid in select zip codes. Subject to driver availability. More terms apply.
Sabres Live is presented by Seneca Resorts and Casinos. Nothing else comes close.
Homestand continues tomorrow as Buffalo tries to get back in the win column after a surprising game against Calgary last night based on what we had seen in the previous outing. Maybe two outings, but definitely the Monday outing against Edmonton. And overall, aside from that win against the Oilers, struggles against the Western Conference. They're just 1-5-1 for whatever that is worth at this point in time. But Marty, why did we see what we saw last night in a 6-2 loss to Calgary?
Well, why did we see the start of the game? I mean, the first period. The Sabres, you know, when you look at the numbers now, they're 20th in first period goals, and they've got the third worst first period goals against in the National Hockey League. And, you know, we had Peyton Krebs on yesterday, and we're talking about the start of the game, you know, especially with Calgary being on a back-to-back coming in. And it's funny because when he started to say, he goes, well, the start of our game have actually been, and I thought he was going to say good, and I was like, oh, I'd hope he does. And he says, very much so-so. Like, it's been up and down. And I think that was maybe the best positive way to look at it, because other than that, you would say they've been, a lot of times this year, they've been poor, and the numbers show that. And the start of the game against Calgary was a poor one, and it puts you in a bad place. And I know they got a goal disallowed and, you know, whatever you say about it. But, you know, the start of the game is where you needed to establish yourself in this game against the Flames. Just like the start of the game needed to be where you had to establish yourself against the St. Louis Blues 2 weeks ago. Well, they were down 1-0 after the first against the Blues. They were down 2-0 early in the second. And in this one against Calgary, they were down 2-0 in the first. And it just like they were down 2-0 to the Colorado Avalanche, just like they went down 4-1 to the Detroit Red Wings. Like, that's what has been going on here over the last 2 or 3 weeks especially.
So you're more concerned with the start than the third period?
Yes, because I do feel that the third period was just a continuation of the start. Like, it just... You can think that, you know, at any moment we'll flip the switch on, right? It happened in Detroit. Flip the switch on, it's good. Oh, Edmonton, you play a good game. So the switch is on. And you get it back to 2-2 and we'll turn the switch on. This is the National Hockey League. I mean, there's another team on the other side, the Calgary Flames, that, hey, they don't want to give you anything. Mm-hmm. They have nothing to lose. And maybe a reason why Ryan Huska, the coach of the Flames, he challenged that Rasmus Dahlin goal is saying, what do I have to lose here? Mm-hmm. We're up 2-0.
Yep.
If worse comes to worse, if I'm wrong, we're still up 2-1. And yeah, Buffalo's going to go in the power play, but the way the power play had been going, in the, you know, the first power play they had. It's not threatening. Mm-hmm. So, they, you know, the Flames had nothing to lose. So, yeah, I'm more concerned about the start because if you start well, if you played, and even the second period, the numbers show better, but it wasn't it wasn't the period that you that the domination that you would think, right? So anyway, if they were to play that second period in the first and then got better, mm-hmm. it would have been fine. But I feel like the third period was just a continuation of what had started, you know, at 7:38 because we started a little later.
Mm. My concern was the third period. The goaltender interference, which we just looked at and probably could look at 1,696,000 times and not have any consensus on it from fans. You and I were in agreement. I might have actually softened my stance a little when I watched it again last night after the fact. First of all, to me, it's moot, and I get it. Nothing should be considered moot in a game because you never know what's going to happen after that happens. But they were down 2-0.
Yes.
It was one goal. They erased the deficit. They had a chance to win in the third period. So to me, it's moot. However, now that you're looking at it again and again and again, would you continue to call it the way you called it and the official called it last night?
I would continue to call it the way that I saw it last night. And when the league sent the explanation by email, it made more sense to me. And I get it. The league sometimes doesn't give you a good explanation. They said according to rule 69.2, and then they kind of leave it. But what they said yesterday is that Tage Thompson's positioning impaired Devin Cooley's ability to play his position in the crease prior to the Dahlin shot. So it doesn't have to say like, oh, well, the shot hadn't been taken yet, and Thompson had kind of moved away, and he, you know, like, Tage's word, and I know like Tage was frustrated with it, but he said he had 3 or 4 seconds to reestablish himself. No, he didn't, right? But the fact is in the rule book, it says if a player goes on his own in the crease and impairs the ability of the goaltender to move freely upon his crease, and that directly leads to a goal, it will be waved off. It was pretty simple, the fact that Devin Cooley's ability to move and establish himself a position in the crease was impaired. And the shot came in really right after when he never really got fully recovered or fully set. Was it a great shot? Yes. Does it matter? No. Nobody's going to say, oh, he wouldn't have gotten it anyway. You never know. You never know, right? So I'm still good with that. Look, I've had my moments this year where I'm like, oh, this should have been a goal. This shouldn't have been a goal. And we can criticize the hockey department in the situation room. And I hate when people call it, oh, Toronto made the call. It could be in Australia. Nobody.
But it's not.
It's not. I get it. But it's in Toronto. Why? Because that they have to find a place to have hockey ops operational, people live in, and it's all there. So it's the situation room. It's not Toronto.
I think part of it for, I don't even want to say casual observers, because I think fans are more than that. But they don't necessarily get hung up on watching the hours and hours and hours and hours that a lot of us end up seeing it. So maybe there's not as many comps in their head. But what I'm getting at is anybody that watched it last night knows that it was so accidental and unintentional that when you first see it that way, you realize that there's no plan here. You know what I'm saying?
My goals against average, my save percentage would be way better because those little contact, we're permissible. They were okay. Like, guys would bump me, and it was fine. It was part of the game.
There were a lot of guys who do this all the time, and it doesn't get called. This is the point, because people have memories of stuff that looks intentional, and a goal stands, and then you clearly look at this, and your brain is conditioned to go, oh my gosh, like there was no intent. Like he stumbled, did his absolute best to get out of the crease as soon as he knew he was getting into it. And the goaltender didn't get knocked over. So all I'm saying is I can understand
the
mechanics of the mind going, this really looked like nothing.
So now let me ask you this question, Duffer. I think that most of these borderline gray area goalie interference situation happened usually towards the top of the crease, that half circle at the top of the crease. Now, we can remember, and people that used to go to the odd or whatnot remember that the crease used to be just a rectangle, mm-hmm. right? Do you think that going to a, maybe you have the crease the way that it is, but the only blue part would be that rectangle area that would be restricted for players, but everything in that circle that, you know, we call the muffin top, but like that area would be okay. Like, you know, if there was accidental contact that didn't really affect much, would be okay. Mm-hmm. I almost like we would take off a lot of that gray area. Like this one by Tage yesterday would have been in that, you know, wider ice instead of in the blue ice.
Yeah. I don't think any lines, unless you got rid of the crease completely, would change the game.
Because then we're just moving the issue somewhere else.
Exactly. Here's the coach and Tage on last night's call.
It looked to me like the goaltender got set afterwards. It was set for the shot. How did you see that play?
Yeah, you and me both. I thought that was a horrible call. It's a call to go on the ice, and I think there's minimal contact there, if any. And then I think he's square to the shot for a good two, three seconds, and you know, Dahl's shot goes bar down, so it's not like it's into the middle of the net and he can't react to make a save. He's squared with the whole time, but stuff that's out of your control. I think the main focus there is we didn't control things that were within our control tonight, and that's puck battles and intensity. I just think we went into every one-on-one battle just casual, just soft.
Did Carter give you any insight about that at the TV timeout when you were talking to him?
Yeah, I mean, he said he made the call on the ice and he thought it was a goal, and obviously Toronto thought otherwise.
The reason you challenge is because you don't know. It could go either way. I thought that one could have went either way. I didn't think, my opinion, I didn't think there was enough there. They used their timeout. They challenged it. The only way you're going to know, it could have been a huge turning point if, you know, it goes the other way. But it went their way.
And Calgary ends up having a big third period and wins 6-2. So,
and I don't want to, like, when I said I hate when people call it Toronto, I feel like that's the easy, you know, you're in, like Tage said it. I'm not saying like, Tage's in Toronto. It's like players, they know. Even the referees will say, well, we'll call Toronto. It's just like, I think people, like if this room, the Situation Room was here in Buffalo, mm-hmm. like I don't think people would complain as much. It's just because it's Toronto that people complain.
I don't think that's true at all.
You don't? I think people always say, oh, obviously it's in Toronto, so everybody hates Toronto.
If the Situation Room was here people and that call went against them, people would be mad that the call went against
them.
Yeah,
but I'm just saying they wouldn't say, oh, well, they made the call in Buffalo. Like, they wouldn't use Buffalo as a negative connotation to where the room is.
Okay, I don't have the brain space to debate this right now. Matias Samuelsson continued his decent play. Now, the overarching comment from the coach was nobody really deserves a lot of praise for last night mm-hmm. because he wasn't happy with the entirety of his roster. But the numbers and the production and, in general, I think, the play of Samuelsson continue to garner attention.
Well, you know, what I see Samuelsson, I see him play with confidence, especially with the puck. There was times over the last few years where Matias Samuelsson had the puck. And no disrespect to Jay McKee and Rhett Werner back in the days, but there used to be an internal joke in the room that whenever those guys would make a pass to one another, it was like they're sending each other grenades, mm-hmm. and then they have to shoot it off the glass to try to get it to the neutral zone. And it felt like that with Matias Samuelsson. Like, when he had the puck, it was like, the puck is supposed to be your friend, Sammy, and it's not. The puck is his friend right now, especially in the offensive zone. Mm-hmm. And his feet are moving, especially in the offensive zone. And I think that's a really good thing. Now, look, I know Dahlin would have scored that goal that got called back, but if you're down 2-0 and you're looking...
At Maurice's, we're all about great jeans. You know, the ones that fit you just right. The ones that simply make you feel good. Because you don't just wear jeans, you live in them. Find great jeans starting at $29.90 in stores and at Maurice's.com.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews. all on the app. Download today.
Hiring isn't just about finding someone willing to take the job. It's about getting the right person with the right background who can move your business forward. And to find candidates who match what you're looking for, trust Indeed Sponsored Jobs. Stop struggling to get your job post even seen on other sites. Give your job the best chance to be seen with Indeed Sponsored Jobs. They help you stand out and hire quality candidates who can drive the results you need. Sponsored Jobs boost your post for quality candidates so you can reach the exact people you want faster. Join the 1.6 million companies that sponsor their jobs with Indeed. Spend more time interviewing candidates who check all your boxes. Less stress, less time, more results now with Indeed Sponsored Jobs. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to help get your job the premium status it deserves at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Do it the right way with Indeed.
For somebody to give you a spark, usually that would be Tage, that would be Tuck, that would be Dahlin, that would be, you know, your offensive guys. And lately, and like since Sammy's come back and come back healthy, he is one of those that gives a boost offensively at a moment where you need it. Yep. And last night was that. He scored the first goal, got going, right? That's exactly what Samuelson has been able to provide now to the Sabres with 4 goals. Out of the 10 goals that the Sabres have scored from a defenseman, Sammy has 4 of them.
Mm-hmm. And then when you speak of a boost, obviously we spent a lot of time the last 2 days talking about, you know, the depth of the roster, the younger players that have been helping. But then collectively you have a game like last night where it presumably makes it easier for the coach to start welcoming back veteran players into the mix, i.e. Jason Zucker, who's expected to return tomorrow. Zach Benson could be as close as this weekend. We don't know. We don't have a definitive word on that. But, like, who now gets really edgy among the forward group with those guys coming back? Like, is it too easy to just, you know, look to the call-ups?
It's too easy.
Right. Okay, so what are they going to get from Zucker?
Well, no, it's... Let me just say this. It's too easy to look at Auslan, Roseanne, Dunn, right? Mm-hmm. To be your three guys that, well, you know what? If Zucker comes back, one of those three. If Benson comes back, another one of those three. And I hate it because really, the Malenstein, Dunn had a few moments yesterday. It was okay. But I think overall he's been valuable to the fourth line. You know, that Malenstein, Auslan, and Dunn line actually created on the forecheck. They weren't the issue last night. Like, right. They definitely weren't. And I think that Roseanne has had really some bright moments, especially when given an opportunity on the power play and in offensive situations. I said on the pregame yesterday, the top four guys in goals per 60, which is a measure of how do you produce for the amount of ice time you get. Obviously, Tage Thompson is going to produce more because he gets more ice time than others. But when you do goals per 60, the top four guys on the Sabres are Thompson, Roseanne, Zucker, and Auslan. Mm-hmm. So I can't look at that number and say, well, Auslan and Roseanne would be two of the three guys that you would want to pull out of the lineup. Now, it's easy to say, Dunn, Auslan, Roseanne. But I'm starting to think that, okay, there's other guys on the roster that should be thinking, that could be me, because they need more out of a lot of the depth guys that should be producing some offense that have not helped right now.
Real quick, who do you put Zucker with?
Oh, so I would put Zucker with McLeod. And I know that right now you have, I may even go like Roseanne, Zucker, and McLeod. Say, okay, and keep Doan with Thompson and Tuck up top.
I don't know if that lasts after last night.
I would give it another try. Yeah. I would give it another try because they had found something, and really it wasn't a good game for Tuck and Tage and Doan. And I looked, by putting Zucker with maybe McLeod and Roseanne, that bumps Quinn down. Mm-hmm. But I think what Lindy said yesterday, he said that everybody kind of wanted an easy game. And I saw that. Like, instead of stopping the puck on the wall, turning your back, taking a hit, making a play, go with speed. It was, oh, let's do that little angle of the wall and hoping that it's the perfect, like it's almost a lateral in football, hoping it's the perfect play. On the power play, I'm in the slot. I'm getting the puck to the bumper. I'm going to do a little one-touch backhand sauce, and then it goes out of the zone. Mm-hmm. It was too much of that. And I know those are the skilled players that are going to try those plays, but you can try those plays when you know you've got a great feel for the puck and a great positive game going, not when you're trying to establish your game and it just went nowhere.
So Zucker expected tomorrow. Benson will get clarity on moving forward. He is in the soon category. Here he is.
Hopefully when I'm back, I can stay healthy and go on a run with the boys. Just getting back up to speed and practices, getting back in game shape. So obviously it'll take a couple days, but I'm feeling pretty good out there.
He does have 8 points in 8 games, Benson. He's still looking for his first goal, but he's had two bouts with injury so far now, and obviously the one was really freak nature. But you look at the combined production between him and Zucker alone, pretty significant, and
you need it.
And but at the same time, the win-loss record has been kind of consistent here, no matter who's been in the lineup, right?
Yeah, I mean that's
so.
Like
you so you can't sit there and say, "Well, they're 7-0 with Zach Benson this year." No, that's not the case, right?
No.
So,
but last night, like, I know you need offense, and Zucker and Benson are going to help, but I also think that it's more about an overall game. It's about being strong in your own zone, managing the puck. Like, you could have won that game 2-1 last night.
Yeah.
The Calgary Flames don't score.
Right.
They don't score. They were barely scoring over 2 goals a game. You get them on the back-to-back. Mm-hmm. We had Peyton Krebs talking about, your legs feel a little heavier on the second game of a back-to-back. And you know, they could have won that one 2-1 by making it tough on Calgary. It didn't happen.
Well, congrats on your anytime goal scorer.
Yeah, I did get that yesterday. That's right. So I won a little money.
There you go.
There you go. I've got 3 right picks out of 20 games this year. So without all the money.
I don't think we've done it for all 20, have we?
No, not for all 20. But let's just pretend like maybe 15 out of the 20. There's a couple of national games or whatever. But now, this board does not include all the miss. So the money that I paid and the ones that did not get me any time goal scorer is not being taken out. So it's just a positive. We're a positive show here. We only show the positive.
I don't think there have been any transactions, quite frankly.
There's been no transaction. You're right. This is all pretend. This is Monopoly money at this point. Hey, right. I'm glad that we're like 20 minutes into the show. You haven't asked me who do you think is going to play goal tomorrow night.
Because I don't have the ability to do so because I have to stay on schedule here with the rest of the show. So it's the quarter poll. It's sunny out. We're 20 games in. What's the big story so far in the NHL?
Okay, I've got a couple of stories in the NHL so far. Let me start with an individual story. A goalie story, because, we haven't talked goalies yet. Scott Wedgwood has been one of my biggest storyline this year, because you go into the start of the year, Colorado doesn't have Mackenzie Blackwood. You're like, where are the Avalanche going to be? Well, you know what? They're the best team in the league. Scott Wedgwood is potentially the best goalie in the league. Logan Thompson may want to say something about that. He's 11-1-2. A 217 goals against average and has been lights out. So that, like, as an individual, I think is probably one of the biggest storyline in the league. Something that people don't talk enough about, but I think that's that. What do you got for biggest storyline this quarter polls season?
Probably just the scoring race, I think. Just the different young players that are involved. I mean, I know McDavid or MacKinnon is going to win it. That's just inevitable.
Yes.
And Connor's right there, but it's fun watching Celebrini, Carlson, Bedard challenge for this.
It's like every day, though. Like, Celebrini does something one day, and then later that night, or usually it's Chicago before, and then San Jose later, or the next day, Bedard comes in, or Carlson comes in. It's just, to me, it's been awesome. Another storyline that I think is big this year is the injuries. Mm-hmm. There's been a ton of injuries around the NHL. I just wrote down, like, names of guys that are hurt. Charlie McAvoy took a puck to the face. Slavin in Carolina, Duchesne and Harley, Marinich, Barkov and Tkachuk, Doughty, Rossi. Montreal's got tons of injuries. Tampa Bay with Hedman and McDonough and Cernak. Toronto with Matthews, Nice, Stolarz. Vegas, there's been tons of injuries. Not that it is an excuse or not, but there has been a ton of injuries in this first quarter of the season in the NHL.
What's been more impressive, the play of Macklin Celebrini in his second year or Matthew Schaefer in his first?
This is a tough trick question. I think that...
No one's tricking anyone.
It's not a trick question. It's a tough question. I think Schaefer is more impressive because for me personally, I thought he won the last 10 games. He played a half a season last year. And he comes in, and now he's going to have to perform at the NHL level. And he not only is performing, he's dominating. He's elevated as one of the best. So I'm going to say Schaefer is more surprising than Celebrini.
It's not surprised. It's more impressive.
Impressive. I say Schaefer is more impressive because of how my expectation level was for Schaefer compared to Celebrini. Mm.
I'll go with Celebrini because the Sharks wouldn't have a single win without him.
That's why it was hard to answer.
I'm not even lying.
Because I was thinking the same thing.
They might have a point. They would not have a single win without Macklin Celebrini. Like, not even lying. Comeback player of the year so far.
Comeback player of the year. I'm going to go with... This is a weird comeback, but I think we just mentioned Connor Bedard. And I think Connor Bedard last year had the injury a little bit, did not perform at the level that we thought he was, and now he's elevated himself as one of the best players in the NHL. So it's not so much a comeback like, well, what did he miss? He just wasn't himself last year, mm-hmm. and he's come back way better this year. So I'm going to say Bedard for that reason.
Marcus Johansson, the Wild are 7-1-1. They've dealt with a ton of injuries, and he is on pace for over 60 points, which would be a career high. Granted, Mojo has had a lot of injury troubles over the course of his career, so hoping he can stay healthy. But I would say this, obviously Zuccarello's return has meant a lot, but Mojo was literally the glue for this team with a very shaky start, and it's been super fun to see just how respected he is in that group in Minnesota.
It's been fun. And because you mentioned Minnesota, could we say Jesper Wallstedt is kind of a comeback player of the year, despite the fact he didn't play last year in the NHL? He had a bad year in the AHL last year.
Right, different category, not NHL comeback player.
No, it's not NHL comeback, but I think for me that watches the goalies around the league and the prospect mm-hmm. and his performance so far in the season, it's almost like Kevin Weeks would always say, now you're back. I don't know where you went, but now you're back. That's Jesper Wallstedt.
Surprise team of the year so far?
Surprise team, I got three right now that I think I can put in that category. Boston and Pittsburgh are very, very surprising to me and what they've been able to do.
But they've lost a bunch here in the last
week.
They
have, so. But they're still in that picture. I thought they were going to be way out, and it wasn't going to be. Anaheim, I had... not high expectations, but better expectation for Anaheim. They've exceeded my expectations. So I'm saying Anaheim is the surprise team of the year.
Yeah. Chicago, for me, I would have never expected them to get out of the bottom five. And they're 10-3-3. They might well be 11-3-3 in the last 17 as they come in tomorrow night. They've got Seattle this evening. And they, the most surprising aspect of their rise here under Jeff Blashill, and this is a dream scenario for any coach, is to have pretty much the best goaltending. Yeah. And the Hawks have been in the top three in save percentage and goals against. And yes, some of that comes from coaching and personnel, but ultimately it comes down to Spencer Knight and Arvid Soderblom at this point. And
we're probably going to see Arvid Soderblom tomorrow. Yeah. Spencer Knight's playing tonight. Yeah. And Soderblom played last two nights ago. So, we're probably going to see Arvid Soderblom from Friday.
Amazing. 10-3-3 are the Hawks going into tonight's game with Seattle. Yeah. We, of course, are looking forward to Chicago, Buffalo tomorrow night right here at KeyBank Center as the homestand continues. And as this month continues, we continue to celebrate Native American Heritage Month. We're proud to feature the special edition jerseys that we showed off on our broadcast the other night. There's an auction for these jerseys presented by Seneca Resorts and Casinos, and the auction closes on November 23rd at 9 p.m. All proceeds to benefit the Western Door Hockey Program. So place your bid now by visiting sabres.com/auction. It's Thursday. Hockey insider Darren Dreger from TSN is coming up on Sabres Live.
Hi, this is Javon, your Blinds.com design consultant.
Oh, wow, a real person.
Yep, I'm here to help with everything from selecting the perfect window treatments to...
Well, I've got a complicated project.
No problem. We make the complex simple. I can even help schedule a professional measure and install.
I didn't realize you did that.
We can also send you samples fast and free.
Wow, I always thought I needed a designer to come to my home, but scheduling's always a nightmare.
Not with Blinds.com. We're on your schedule, and there's no haggling, pressure, or hidden fees either.
I just might have to do more.
Whatever you need. How about you tell me what you had in mind?
Okay, then. So the first room we're looking at is for guests coming over, and I'm thinking of...
From free expert design help to our 100% satisfaction guarantee, everything we do is made to fit your life and your windows. Because at Blinds.com, the only thing we treat better than windows is you. Black Friday deals are going on all month long. Save up to 45% off site-wide, plus an additional 10% off every order at Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions apply.
Looking for a new way to grow your business? With TikTok for Business, anything is possible. If you've ever thought about advertising on TikTok, now's the time to do it. You can drive more customers to your website, sell products right in the app, and you can even use TikTok's creative tools to easily make content and find creators to help sell your products for you. Find new customers today. Just open your browser, type in getstarted.tiktok.com/TikTok ads, and grow your business fast.
On the job, every minute counts. That's why Lowe's now has ProBlock Quick Dry Primer, expertly manufactured by Sherwin-Williams. Engineered for pros to dry fast and go on smooth for virtually flawless results that keep your job moving. It's available in oil and water-based, and getting it is easy. Order online by 2 p.m. and get free same-day delivery right to your job site. Lowe's, we help, you save. Orders placed after 2 p.m. will be delivered next day. Valid in select zip codes. Subject to driver availability. More terms apply.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.